Romans chapter 6. Let's come back there. We've been thinking about the theme of guilt and grace over about 3 months now, and we're coming to this morning to the last of the messages in that theme. We've learned a lot about guilt, playing the guilt game, and trying to shift guilt, and the difference between true and false guilt, and we've seen how Jesus removes our guilt, how Jesus is able to give us his history as he takes our history. We thought about that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And we thought about how, even as Christians, when we come back to Jesus, ask for his forgiveness, we become like new friends to him again. It's all new, it's all made new, it's all fresh. So guilt is real, but grace is wonderful in dealing with guilt. Romans 6 and verse 14. Sin shall not be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace. Paul is writing to Christians who trust Jesus Christ. Sin shall not be your master. You're not under law, but under grace. There are two kingdoms here. There's the kingdom of law, and there's the kingdom of grace. Two kings. You can be under King Law, or you can be under King Grace. And every one of us here today is under one or other of those kings in our lives. Which is it with yourself this morning? Are you under King Law, or are you under King Grace? As you start 2014, which kingdom do you want to be in? Do you want to be in King Law's kingdom, or do you want to be under King Grace? Because your king determines what happens in your life. Your king's in charge. He gives the orders. Would you like to begin 2014 with a new beginning? Because the gospel tells us that you can. I want to remind you then what life is like under King Law, and then I want to remind you what it's like under King Grace, and then we'll take it from there. King Law. If you're under law, as verse 14 says, if you read the passage that we read from verse 1 to verse 14 of Romans 6 carefully, you'll see that being under law is the same as what, for example, verse 12 calls sin reigning in your body, obeying sin's evil desires. It's the same as verse 14, sin being your master, or as verse 6, you being the slave of sin. Being under law is a seriously bad thing. You're a slave to sin. You're a slave to your desires. King Law says this to you. He says, you can live if you keep everything that I say to you. If you obey me perfectly, you can live. That's what King Law says. But you've got to obey him. So many people aspire to that. Many people try to obey King Law. But at the same time, you're conscious of what the chapter spoke about. Evil desires which oppose King Law, the desire for the chocolates that you're not to have when you're a kid, and the desire for things you're not to have when you're an adult as well. And these desires promise much. And so, actually knowing what King Law wants makes it that you want to disobey. You see things you can't have and you want them. And it makes a struggle in your body, in your heart, in your desires. The struggle that Eve had when she saw that fruit. The struggle that the kids have when they see the box of chocolates they're not supposed to have. The struggle that Paul speaks about in the next chapter. In chapter 7, verse 19, for example. He says, it's not the good that I want to do, no, the evil I do. This I keep on doing, he says. You resist, but not all the time. And when you don't resist, and when you fail, you disobey your king, King Law, and the consequences are devastating. Because when you disobey King Law, you become guilty before King Law. King Law condemns you. Far from getting life through obedience to King Law, you are now under his condemnation. Of course, King Law is God. You've rebelled against God, and your conscience tells you that, and there's no way back under King Law. Once you've done it, once you've rebelled, there's no way back. You can try harder, and you can try and make amends for what you've done, but you've gone wrong, you're guilty, and you can't sort that yourself. Your relationship with King Law is dead. Dead. Like Jacob Marley in A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens' novel. Ebenezer Scrooge's dead former business partner. He was described as being as dead as a doornail. For 7 years he was dead. And he's the ghost that visits Scrooge at the beginning of the story of A Christmas Carol. Jacob Marley is dead as a doornail, former business associate. Comes as a see-through ghost, if you like, wearing a chain. And Dickens says his chain was long and wound about him like a tail. It was made of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, deeds, and heavy purses wrought in steel. What is the chain? It's a chain made by Jacob Marley's own desires. In his case, greed. He says this, "I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it." Scrooge is greatly disturbed when he sees Jacob Marley's chain, because it is the same chain that he himself wears. And Marley tells him, he says, "Your chain, Scrooge, was full as heavy and as long as this chain 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have laboured on it since," he says. "It is a ponderous chain." So Scrooge pleads with him. "Speak comfort to me, Jacob," he says. "I have none to give," the ghost replied. "It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other ministers to other kinds of men." King Law gives no comfort to those who wear the chains of guilt and sin which have been wrought by their own desires. King Law brings only condemnation. "Speak comfort to me, Jacob," says Scrooge, "but I have none to give," says Marley. "That comfort comes through other ministers to other men," he says, "to other kinds of men. Ministers of grace, to those who trust in the grace of God. Because there is another king. You can be under King Law, but you can also," verse 14 says, "be under King Grace. If you're under King Grace, then," verse 14 says, "sin shall not be your master." Verse 7 says you're freed from sin. Verse 4 and verse 7 speak about you having a new life. See, King Grace is different. If you sin against King Grace, then he pays for that sin at great personal cost. Under the reign of King Grace, you're motivated by love, not fear, by gratitude for what he's done for you. You're not focused on the possibility of failure and the consequences of guilt. You're focused really on the freedom that King Grace gives you to get it right. And if you do fail, you can come to King Grace and confess your sin and ask for his mercy afresh and begin anew with him. No, sin cannot separate you from King Grace. Sin doesn't have that authority because it's not your master, verse 14. You're not under King Law. You're under King Grace. So you can be close to King Grace, who is, of course, also God, but God under different terms. God under a different arrangement. Not under law, but under grace. So which king are you under this morning? Are you like Jacob Marley, the ghost, wearing the chains that you have forged link by link in your life? Chains of guilt. And King Law gives you no comfort. You come to church dutifully every Sunday, but you know that the duties that you see are required of the Christian life are duties that you have already failed to attain. And so you go away under King Law, not comforted, because you feel even more condemned, even more guilty. What you need is not a visit from Jacob Marley. You don't need a visit from the ghosts of Christmas past or whatever. What you need is Jesus Christ. You can't put away the year past and the history of your life and receive Christ's history, Christ's righteous history, Christ's friendship, as we spoke about over the last couple of Sundays, Christ's reign of grace. That's what you need. King Law provides no hope. King Law provides no way of escape. Provides only condemnation. But to be a Christian is not to be under law, but to be under grace. It's to be in a place where you can enjoy peace with God. Chapter 6 tells us that Jesus died. He died under King Law. In other words, he carried guilt. He carried the chains that we had wrought in life, link by link, by our sins. He carried that. And under the administration, under the arrangement of King Law, he was doomed to condemnation and to death. And he underwent that death at the cross for us. King Law is serious about sin. You must not make any doubt about that. And you see how serious he is from the fact that he killed his own son for sin. God's son died carrying our sin, carrying our chains in love for us, to save us from King Law. Because once he had done that, once he had paid the penalty, once he had suffered the consequences, once he had carried the condemnation, once he had been punished for our sins, he rose again. When he rose under a different system, a different dominion, a different administration, the administration of grace. And he comes to us not as King Law, but as King Grace. Law has no more power over our Lord Jesus Christ. We share in his victory. We rise with him to a new life. You have to read all that in the first verses of Romans chapter 6. Not an easy chapter. And I confess it's one chapter in the Bible I've wrestled with all my Christian life to try and get to grips with it. But it's clear that what it's saying at the beginning is Jesus died and we died with him. Verse 2, we died to sin. We were buried with Jesus in baptism into death. We are united with him like this in death, verse 5 says. Verse 6, our old self was crucified with him. Verse 8, we died with Christ. It's all there, time and time again. The old arrangement of being under King Law We die to that. When we become Christians, when we turn to God and ask His mercy, we say we can't live under King Law anymore, we need King Grace, then God gives us a share in what Jesus did. And that means we die to King Law. We die to that old way. And we rise up with Jesus. If we were united with Him in His death, verse 5, we will certainly be united with Him in His resurrection. If we die with Christ, verse 8, we believe we will also live with Him. So we rise up into a new life. It's a new dominion. There's a new king. Who is the king now? It's not King Law. It's King Grace. It's not condemnation. It's liberation. And so we can think of ourselves in a new way when we become Christians. Verse 7, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. And because we can think of ourselves in a new way, because we're under a new king, in a new kingdom, we can live differently too. Verse 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. It's not your king anymore, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, brought into the realm of grace, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Now, Christians need to hear this constantly. Let me just labour this at the end of the year as we put the old behind and the new is coming. So we need to hear this all the time about what we are as Christians, that the old has gone and the new has come. We are under the rule of grace when we are Christians. We are not under the rule of law. Law is not our king. Grace is our king. But we can still think like we are under the rule of law and guilt and condemnation and separation from God and death and doom and all these things. And when we do that, when we still think as though nothing had changed, then what we fail to do is we fail to offer ourselves in service to God. Verse 13 says, offer yourself to God, because you've been brought from death to life. But we fail to do that because we're crushed by a sense of our failure, because we haven't grasped. We're not under law. We're under grace. Let me illustrate it. Get plenty of French tourists in the locality in the summer especially. French tourist leaves one dominion, France, to come to another one, the United Kingdom. Now, when the French tourist's in Scotland, he's under the dominion of the United Kingdom. But he's a Frenchman. And it may be quite easy for him to think like a Frenchman, because he's been in France all his life. But if he does that when he's driving on the road, then there's trouble, because he'll drive on the wrong side of the road. The dominion in France says you drive on the right. The dominion in the UK says you drive on the left. But if in his mind he forgets that he's under the dominion of the UK and reverts to thinking as though he were under the dominion of France, he drives on the right-hand side, crash. It's not very pretty. And so he needs to be reminded all the time. Conduisez à gauche. Drive on the left. Drive on the left. You see the signs of hotels. You see the signs at Ealandonnell Castle. You see the signs wherever the tourists may be joining the road and may be likely to forget. Just to keep reminding them, Christians, we need to be reminded all the time which dominion we're in. We're not in the dominion of law. We're under the dominion of grace. And we must keep on, as verse 11 says, we must keep on reckoning ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. We must be daily doing this. My friends, you need to read your Bibles. You need to read the New Testament daily. You need to get into it. You need to soak your mind in its pattern of thinking, or else you will live under law. Because everything in the world keeps you under law. Everything in the world will make you feel condemnation, guilt, failure, death, separation from God. You need to hear the gospel all the time. You need to be in church. You need to be worshipping. You need to be listening. You need to be praying. You need to be fellowshipping. You need to be doing this, because if you're not, you will live under law. You will not enjoy the freedom of the Christian person. And you will live an unfruitful Christian life, because you will not offer yourself to God, because you will be too ashamed to do so, because you're listening to the voice of law instead of the voice of grace. If we're going to shake off the deadly spectres of the past, the chains, the ghost-like Marley figures of our past, then we need to keep on feeding on the gospel constantly. You need to do that. One of the things we heard a lot about in the news in 2013 was slavery in the UK, and it's a horrible thing. Gangmasters and crooked, predatory individuals who enslave people for various reasons. They are manipulative, they are threatening, and they are dangerous. And they condition their victims to obedience. Now, when these slave masters are caught and put behind bars, do the victims who were enslaved under them immediately become carefree and immediately revert to the way of thinking they had before they were captive? No, they don't. They are conditioned to slavery. And that is the way it is when people become Christians. They are conditioned to slavery under King Law. When they become Christians, they need to fight to become conditioned to freedom under King Grace. They need to fight to hear the voice of King Grace every day, morning, noon and night, so that they can live in the enjoyment of the liberty of forgiveness and of peace with God and of having God as Father and of having eternal life. So we are here today, if we're Christians, recovering from living under the law. Recovering from our slave master and how he enslaved us. Let's redouble our commitment to know what it means in 2014 to live under King Grace. And let's commend to Lahash in 2014 the joy of being under King Grace, our glorious God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bought us by his own blood and has made us to be his servants in the joy and fellowship of his presence, to live in freedom and forgiveness and peace forevermore. Let's live in the joy of that as those who are not under King Law, King Guilt, but who are under King Grace. Let us live under that King. Let's constantly remind ourselves together that we do so and enjoy what it means to be the children of the living God. Amen.